Ladies and gentlemen, it's Spoiler in Time, the show where we take all the information from our Cord Killer show and implement it in order to watch things, put their entertainment in our eyeballs, through our brains, and out of our mouths in this show. I'm Tom Merritt.
That was a very detailed analogy. I'm Brian Brushwood. We have an exciting, for the first time ever, double movie draft updates.
Well, yeah, this may never happen again.
Yep.
This is a
historic
moment.
If it does, it means that we were poorly planned.
Movie draft time!
Dude, I did it. The billion dollar baby. That's me.
Oh, yeah. The movie draft technically ends in 4 days.
Yes.
But the only thing we've been waiting on is whether Brian would top the billion mark, and
it did.
That's it.
And if it was Logan, congratulations to our Chat Realm League players, FD and No X in Escape.
Another first.
Another first time we have two people tying with their, they got $1.2 billion. That's the crazy part. I don't think we've ever had a single player be that close to the Chat Realm League winner. And it looks like what were the number one picks here? I want to kind of break this down.
Do you? I mean, I'm already looking at the summer draft.
Okay. You want to move forward?
Yeah, sure. Some people care about who won the last draft.
Okay. It looks like Logan was the number four pick of the entire thing.
Hidden Figures ended up being the number one dollar per dollar spent. $6 by Brian on a movie that made $167 million.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
All right. We also did the summer movie draft. We did it live. Summer movie draft we always do on the Night Attack channel. So if you want to see it and kind of get the thought process, Mike TV was very, very funny with all of his songs.
Oh, yeah.
It was fantastic.
So
it was a good
so
time.
Good. We had T2T2's Draft Raptor in the house.
Worked
killing
to
it.
A T. It was fantastic. Six teams. So we had Team Frog Pants, Team Night Attack, Team Cord Killers, Team Scotch Bros, Team DTNS, and Team Big and Tall. And we already have three movies out.
We should explain, for those who don't know, Team Cord Killers is not me and Brian.
That's right.
Brian's on Team Night Attack. I'm on Team DTNS. Cord Killers is our representatives.
Correct.
Christy Cates and Malango.
That's right. It was a tight game this go-round. You could tell nobody wanted to let Brian get all the values. Like, people were bidding
people
up stuff
spent their money.
Strategically.
I mean, not everybody spent all their money, but that never happens.
Right.
There's always a few dollars left on the table just because of the way auctions work. But yeah. This felt like more of closer to a legitimate value on these movies. And our first three movies have come out already. Scotch Brothers, which is Cargill's team.
Right, Cargill and Jason
what's
Murphy.
What's the other guy?
Jason
Kidding,
Howell.
Kidding, Jason. Jason Howell. Chips made $7.6 million for them. Oops.
Yeah. How much did they pay for Chips?
They paid $10. So they didn't pay too
that's
much.
That's not bad.
But want more than
even
7.
At ten
6.
Bucks.
Yeah.
That's an expected return on investment of close to $100 million, which is not going to happen.
Life made $12.6 million for Team Cord Killers. They spent $11. That's closer to what you want.
Yeah.
It's still a little under though.
Yeah.
And then Power Rangers. That overperformed. Frog Pants only spent $12 on it. Made $40.5 million.
Yeah, and I'm betting that it's got enough legs to end up around $70 or $80 million.
I think it probably could.
Maybe we'll see.
This week, the Boss Baby for Team Big and Tall, which is that's Father Robert and Patrick Delahanty. We didn't explain that earlier.
I am excited
so
about
which one's big and which one's tall.
$18 for that one. I think that could be a really good buy because we're a little dry on kids movies that have some kind of adult appeal to it.
Yeah.
Obviously, Alec Baldwin is white hot right now. And so I think that could be pretty big.
They've been doing a lot of marketing on it. But the projections have been low. So
really?
Yeah. I'm a little confused on what that's about.
Hmm.
Ghost in the Shell, no one's been talking about. This is an uncontroversial movie.
And yet.
No, I'm just kidding. Of course, there's huge controversy over Scarlett Johansson being cast in the lead.
Whitewashing thing?
The maker of the anime came out and said, you're silly. Stop complaining. Scarlett Johansson is perfect for this role.
Yeah.
But anyway, lots of people talking about it. Lots of people refusing to see it. And it's Big and I'm sorry, it's a Scotch Brothers movie at $19.
Yeah, way overpriced. I mean, Big and Tall have it like Boss Baby at 18 and this for 19. That's insane.
Oh, really? See, I think Ghost in the Shell will outgross Boss Baby.
No way.
I feel I'll bet 19's probably a slight high, but I call it 15 to 16.
I will say Boss Baby will at least have double the opening of Ghost in the Shell.
No, Ghost in the I could live with, yeah, Boss Baby might outgross it, might not. I think Ghost in the Shell will still outgross Boss Baby. Definitely won't get twice.
Now I'll stake bet it on.
Well,
this.
Let's do it.
All right, stake bet.
All right, and everybody get your tickets early for Smurfs the Lost Village coming out April 17th.
Hey, you know, here in LA, they always, you know, everything's insane billboards and insane presence. It's really weird to see them selling it like housing siding where it's like it says same village fully animated whatever, like I guess it's weird because the previous Smurf movies were a blend of live action and CG, right but they're like, but now it's fully animated,
now
like,
we cut the costs,
like and who's sitting on the fence well, the third Smurfs movie, I don't know, there's been an awful lot of live action lately, I don't know if I want to see it, right? It's like, no, but it's like somebody thought that was such a benefit.
Apparently they found some research somewhere where someone said that. Right? Yeah, that's the only way that happens.
Right. And I don't think they're doing it for no reason, but it's just so curious to me that they're just selling it like a car.
All right, let's get into spoiling Legion episode 2, season 1. Now, just a warning here, if you've only watched up to the second episode of Legion, we might accidentally spoil something else because you're halfway through episode 3.
Yeah.
But we think we've got the, thanks to Bryce anyway, we've got the rails. We've got the guidelines to just talk about episode 2 because you're kind of still in your catch-up mode, right?
Also, if you're not way ahead of me, then what's wrong with you?
Yeah, where are you? Who are you?
So this is when, what's it called? Sunshine something or other is the name of the facility that he's at with escapees. You got the one dude who's got
you mean Frank Lloyd Wright House?
Oh, is that what it is? It looks like that. But this is all about him doing memory work, right?
Yes, he's made his escape in episode 1 and now he's like, they're saying, okay, here's what you're going to do while you're here. We need to dive into your memories and this guy helps you.
Right, which I thought was a good conceit that allows you to keep up the unreliable narrator aspect without it feeling, you know, like a plot device for its own sake. I do enjoy the subtle things, you know, it's like, you know, seeing, they do a good job of communicating when you're in the past because his hair looks different. And I believe it was during this episode that we see his first episode where he blasts all the stuff. We get a sense of his power and where he's at. I like the diversity of the characters. You know, you have an older lady, you have this, you know, a handsome black guy, dapper and stuff, all working together. And I like how cautiously they're taking it. Like, it's very clear that there's something extraordinary about David. They are conveying that in a very believable way all the way through this.
Bryce, anything else that we need to make sure we touch on?
Let me see. We saw a little bit of, we did see the childhood stuff, with the angry
childhood character.
And I guess the last thing is we also see that, you know, there, the sinister dude in the green suit with the ginger afro, is his means business.
He's on the hunt.
Wait, when he's not whittling, he's kidnapping sisters and getting ready to do what it takes.
Yeah. Cause David's sister gets kidnapped. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. I wish I had better names for some of these characters.
The sister's name is Amy.
Yeah, David's sister. I'm not worried about that one. It's, I don't know what to call the other guy because I don't think they've named him at all, right? All right, I guess not at this point. I'll find out. But I'll say this much, just qualitatively. Hot damn, am I enjoying this? It's all one big movie. Everything's blending together. And I rewatched Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, I've enjoyed Legion so much that I rewatched Guardians of the Galaxy. And
no spoilers for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, no, that well, here's the spoiler: is it was not as good as I remembered it, and I don't think that's an indictment on it being a bad movie, but having it's just that its shadow had grown very long in my mind since I first saw it. We had a very
feels
good,
like a compressed version of going back to a childhood playground.
Yeah,
and realizing, like, this wasn't that great. It's really small.
Yes. That was the curious experience that I had.
And by the way, I've watched it many, many times and have enjoyed it over and over. So And maybe that's because I kept watching it right afterwards,
right?
Rather than having the time period. But it's not. When I say that, I'm not damning it.
Well,
it's just different experience.
I think a big part of it is the first time you watch it, there's a character that you spend the majority of the movie thinking is a very big threat. And then by the end, it becomes clear.
Something different.
Right.
Yeah,
and that character is on the team. And so as a result, all those scenes had no teeth watching it, rewatching it.
Anyway, Legion.
Yes. Great. It's great.
It's great.
Yeah.
And honestly, I agree with what Justin Robert Young told you earlier, which is you haven't even got to the good part.
Good. Yeah. I couldn't be happier.
Let's move on to The Expanse, episode 9 of season 2, wherein Bobby Draper shows up on Earth. And she doesn't go wear sunglasses. We also have Holden and the Rosinante crew commandeering a freighter so they can sneak into Ganymede. That's pretty much it. We also have a little bit going on Venus with the crew from Earth kind of chasing a Martian ship about examining where Eros landed.
Right. So the Martian ship, they want to see if there's any residue of the proto-molecule. And on the surface, you think like, no, they smashed Eros into, Venus.
Yeah.
But Shenzhen, what's her name? The chick on Earth?
Christian.
Yeah.
It's a pretty simple name, Brian. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, it's spelled weird. It's Chris J-E-N or something.
Yeah.
But she points out, like, she intercepts that there appears to be some proto-molecule still floating on a planet, you know, hot enough to melt lead. And she goes, we're figuring out that the protomolecule may be a little more robust
than we thought, because there's a little bit on Ganymede. That's the whole reason the Rosinante crew is headed there.
Right.
And there apparently now is a little bit on Venus still.
Well, and plus the stuff that's been squirreled away that was supposed to be destroyed.
Right,
not so much.
Naomi hid.
Right. Correct.
That Holden doesn't know about.
Watching Gunny go through. Number one, I love the subtle ways that they are communicating just how tough she is, and it's with this quiet stoicism, this the fact that she doesn't feel weak on Earth or doesn't appear to show any weakness or any of that. Like they're not making it obvious. Like, whoa, you're strong for a Martian or anything like that. And yet they also conveyed that she's really struggling to play ball and do what needs to be done to prevent a war. And Christian, is on to something. She sniffs, but Gunny is Martian through and through. She sticks to her orders and tells the story exactly as
And only protests to her own people about the injustice she thinks being done to the memory of her comrade.
Right.
But otherwise, except for one brief moment where she says something about someone without a vac suit.
Yeah.
And she's on the record.
Yeah.
Then it quickly goes back.
But even then, that's kind of couched as like, I thought I saw, or did she equivocate on that? Or did she?
She says something about, it didn't look like he had a vac suit or something. He didn't have a vac suit. And then they shut her down.
Right.
By telling Avasarala, where is this going? And by the way, that's the Avasarala I know from the book showed up in this episode. The ones are like, wherever I effing want.
Yes.
Who
yes.
are you anyway?
Dropping an F-bomb in there.
In the middle of the official hearing.
Well, and plus the interplay had been very cordial and utterly believable. Like when they show the itinerary and it says break for lunch and then it cut, and then scenes later, it conveys that, now we're closer to Gunny's testimony and all that stuff. It's the boring details that make me the happiest on this show.
Yeah.
You can tell that they really want to convey, like, no, this is a tangible place. This is not fantasy. This is a very real world.
And then the other plot line is Holden and crew commandeering a freighter and sort of being the bad guys, but apologizing the whole way, because that's James Holden for you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, no, but this isn't a good cause. We mean to do it. Getting to Ganymede, getting Prax on to Ganymede, but realizing as they're coming off that the guys going back onto the freight don't look right.
Yeah.
So they turn around to defend their commandeered friends.
Because they're good guys.
And this is, and we've seen it already with Holden, but this is his mode of operations, which is, I'm going to try to do the right thing, and it always turns out to have unintended consequences. And in this case, it's the killing of one of the captains of the freighter.
Yeah, if they hadn't gone back, I mean, probably the ship and all the stuff on it would be stolen, but those two would be alive.
Yeah.
And instead, by trying to act as a white knight, they ended up killing one.
So she has the ship and all the goods now, but not her. I don't know if it was her husband or just partner, but yeah.
Her
but
crewmate.
Someone she cared a lot about.
Yeah,
no
clearly.
What, yeah. Well, where do you think we're going next?
Oh, man, I got to go. It's Justified, right?
No, I mean in The Expanse.
Oh.
Or is that what you meant?
No.
We're going to Harlan County, circa 2072.
I think we're going to see more on Venus. I think we're going to focus on the strange attempt to recover protomolecule from such a toxic beast. We're going to be inside Ganymede because they haven't finished their investigation yet.
Right.
They haven't They're learned
still
what
on
they
Ganymede,
want to know.
So yeah, they got to get Prax to the guy.
Yeah.
Because we want to find out if that guy knows anything about the protomolecule.
Right. And then, we also had the, he's dealing, it's fully established that his daughter died, right?
No, his daughter, Prax's daughter didn't. Well, we don't know that she didn't die. What is established is that she was being escorted out by the guy who has the protomolecule.
Right.
So she's probably alive because he took her, but we don't know why he took her.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I love about The Expanse, and I don't think this is spoilery to say at all at this point, is that there is an alien presence in this story that never speaks. I mean, kind of spoke, I guess.
Oh, there's no big first contact.
But yeah, you don't
moment.
Have, it's just kind of lurking. Like, all the interesting stuff is humans, right?
Yeah.
But then there's this threatening alien presence kind of behind everything.
Yeah, and I get, you know, what's funny is they do an interesting job of not conveying if it's sentient or not yet. Yeah, assuming the suitless alien was pure protomolecule, then that would be the case. But it's not clear if that's not just a human body that's
been infected and taken
over.
Exactly. All right, let's move on to Harlan County and Justified, Episode 11, Season 5, where, whoa, I'm shocked. Art got shot, Brian.
Oh my
Why
gosh.
Didn't you tell me this was going to happen?
Who saw that
over
coming?
And over
so
again?
So close to retirement,
nine.
Too.
That was the one thing I was only disappointed that no one said, like, and he was only a few days from retirement.
I did not care for this episode. I don't know if it was just a bad call on storytelling, or if they were aiming for something that I just didn't resonate with, or if they had budgetary concerns that they couldn't do a big action set piece, but just everything interesting happened off screen. And then characters walked into the room and talked about the thing that they didn't show us.
Yeah.
And as a result, it just felt, I take that back. Maybe they blew their budget on the magical exploding cigarettes that they made sure to show an awful lot prominently and talk about, like, hey, you don't even smoke, do you?
You know, I don't smoke, but I think I'll start this episode with this pack of cigarettes.
Well, and then they go to the room, they start to have the meeting, and he's like,
hold
I'm
on.
Going to have a cigarette.
I'm going to show you that I smoke, so you're not suspicious about this pack of cigarettes.
But then they get rounded up. I guess they go to the to lock up for a bit, but then get discharged, where they all convene, sit down in the exact same chairs where they were, and then announce, where was I? Oh, that's right.
I was
just about to have a cigarette.
Nothing suspicious about this. Yeah. I mean, and here's the thing. The thing I love about Justified is is the attitude, the patter and the attitude. And that's why I like Raylan, even though Raylan hasn't been as interesting. We didn't even get a lot of that in this episode. It was just all over the place. And the confusion that we've both expressed about what is the season about continues in episode 11. Yes, it's about the crows and it's about Boyd trying to get Ava out. And I guess it's about Raylan and Art's situation. And this is somehow mirroring Raylan's situation with his dad when his dad got shot and they didn't apologize. And now he feels bad. Will he get a chance to apologize to Art for what he's... I get that. And those are all good on paper, but it's just not, it's just too many little things. Like, I can't tell you, like, it's the blonde guy. That's the bad situation here. They even bring up Liotonin, who for some reason confesses to shooting Art, even though he had nothing to do with it.
Or because ordering
he just wants
the
to
hit.
Mess with ordering them.
This is the big bad guy.
And
it's like they had Darth Vader in holding and didn't bother to show us.
We don't show him. We haven't really, Tonin hasn't been a part of this episode, you know, all season.
Right.
It causes you to have to go like, oh, wait, now, right, that he's the guy from Detroit. And yeah.
Right. Well, and then on top of all that, it was all over the map. So I guess Ava got away with killing the big bad chick in prison.
Oh, right. Because she got the ice cream tribute.
Yeah. Now,
the
ice cream tribute was good. Like they did a credible job of making it feel like she was in danger and like crap was about to go down. But instead that was a nice moment when, you know, they didn't overstate it. It made it clear.
You mean an ice moment?
Like, yeah, ice. It was an ice dream.
I agree. That was a well-constructed moment. It did have me actually she's lactose intolerant. And so yeah. this is an insult to her.
Well, and it's just weird to see Orange is the New Black in Justified, especially with actual actors
right,
who are
Tasty
in.
Shows up.
Yeah.
And then she's not the first one.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Again, we are not like saying that's it. We hate Justified.
There's been lots
of good in Justified.
Correct.
But this season for us, anyway, for both of us.
It's just very haphazard. It really seems to be struggling to find its voice this whole season.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised.
And there's good elements. I really love the whole crow feel. Like, I love Danny Crow's character.
Yeah.
I love the sister, Alicia Witt's character.
Yeah, okay. And, you know what, though?
But they just they're not doing things with them that I find interesting, even though I like those characters.
Right. Well, and the most interesting crow was the one that was barking like a dog and then
Danny?
Yeah, fell into a ditch and stabbed his own face because that made sense. Like he's the most interesting.
I kind of feel like that he might do that though. Like he's a little bit.
Sure.
He's
sure.
Got a little Dewey in him.
He was the most credible threat in the entire family.
Because he was a loose cannon, right?
Right. Correct. Yeah. Correct. And then to see him go out in such a ridiculous manner and to just get a shrug, like it's like, well.
And the one thing I will give this episode credit for is at the end, you have a very clear situation, which is Daryl and Raylan have a beef and it's going to come to a head.
Yeah.
Right. And Raylan and Art may or may not be able to resolve their cold thing because Art might not wake up.
Right.
I still not quite sure what the Crowder storyline is other than like Ava's still trying to make her way in the plink.
Yeah.
And Boyd's doing things to ensure that.
Yeah.
But That one's still a little murky for me.
Yeah, well, stick it out.
All right. Yes, we will keep watching. We'll talk about Justified and The Expanse again next week. Hopefully a little more Legion as well.
Yeah, no, I'll try to get way caught up on Legion because I'm excited.
Thank you, everybody, for watching and supporting the show at patreon.com/cordkillers. We will spoil you next time.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.